We begin the current daven, this getting daven samach zayin. We begin 13 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues by quoting a halacha that was mentioned in the previous daf, which pertained to the machlekes mentioned in our Mishnah, where there was a machlekes between Reb Meir and Reb Yosi regarding if someone tells to a bezin, or three people, a court, to new get leishti, could it be like when you generally say something to a court that then they could delegate it to other people to write the get? Or do they actually have to write it themselves? And that machlekes was regarding if mili mimsur l'shliach or not, could words be given over from one person to another person? That was their machlekes. So Gufa, we had said that Omer Rebbe Shmuel had said the name of Rebbe, and that was pertinent, as we had mentioned in the previous stop, that Shmuel held this way, because that was a lot of the questions that we had regarding how do we understand the opinion of Shmuel, how was he in doubt regarding the case that was sent to him when they were told to write the get and then give it to this other person. The question is, did the writing mean the writing of their own signatures, or did it mean the writing the text of the get? And that's why he wasn't sure about it, which we had asked, even if it only means the signatures, but how could they tell a scribe to write it? Isn't that telling over from one to the next? So that was important to differentiate that Shmuel held like Reb Yosi, as we're quoting here, Halachic Reb Yosi, which he's saying over the name of Reb Yosi, a name of Rebbe, but he himself was saying over the halacha. But again, that was only regards to the halacha of the Amar Mili L'Mimsrin L'Shliach, where there, Shmuel, who's saying over the name of Rebbe, holds like Reb Yosi, as he says in our Mishnah, that words cannot be given over, but, as we had mentioned, that Shmuel disagreed with Reb Yosi regarding what we proved is Reb Yosi's opinion from the Mishnah Pei Zayin, where Reb Yosi said that even when you have Imru, even when the husband tells them to tell someone else, he explicitly says to give it over to someone else. That's where Shmuel disagreed, and that's why he had that question that we had posed, which Shmuel said we don't have the answer for, because we don't understand the halacha of our Mishnah when it says kisayvu. Does it mean that they have to write their own handwriting, their chasima, or does it mean to write the text of the get? But again, that was what was important for our Gemara, is that Shmuel said the name of Rebbe, but regarding the generic halacha of milu le'mimsun l'shliach, that words cannot be given over. If let's say he tells them to do something, they can't go ahead and give it over to someone else if it was just words. Now, Amar l'fan of Reb Shimon be Rebbe. Now, Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, said to Rebbe, who this halacha that Shmuel was saying over was the name of Rebbe, he asked him, "Ma me'acher shreb Meir v'chanina ish oinei cholken al Reb Yosi?" Since, as we quote in our Mishnah, Reb Meir and Chanina ish oinei argue on Reb Yosi, and they hold that yes, you can tell, and that actually was said over the name of Reb Kiva, that you could tell someone to do something, and then he can go ahead if it was authorized, as like in the case of three people, to give it over to other people. So Mara Rebbe loim halachic Reb Yosi. Then why did Rebbe, the who's the one that's saying over this halacha, how did you see fit to say the halacha is like Reb Yosi? So Amaloi, so Rebbe said to him, Shteik benishteik, my son, be silent, be silent. Loi re'isis Reb Yosi, you never saw Reb Yosi. Ilma loi re'isai, had you seen him, you would know that nimaiku imai. His reasoning, his explanations are always with him. Whenever he asked him a question regarding an opinion that he had ruled on, he always had a legitimate and logical explanation, and you said, wow, that's so true. So therefore, had you seen him, you would know that even though there are two other Tanoim that are disagree with him, I say that Allah is like Reb Yosi because I know if he said something, he definitely had a valid and legitimate and reasonable reason for that. The Tanoim, like we learned in the Braisa. Isi ben Yehuda ha-yumayna shivchan shal chacham. Isi ben Yehuda counted and detailed the praise of different sages. And one of them is this concept that we're mentioning, that Reb Yosi was nimuka imo, and that's why Rebbe paskin halacha like Reb Yosi. And they went through different sages. Reb Meir was a chacham nesefer. Reb Meir was a sage, and it was described, as the Gemara says in Masechta Saita, where Reb Meir said, I said in front of my different teachers that I'm a scribe, and so on, like the story says. Reb Yehuda was a chacham l'kesha yirtzer. Reb Yehuda was a sage when he wanted to. Whereas Rashi interprets, it means that when he was patient and he had time, then he was a sage, meaning when he was calm and in the proper frame of mind, then when he wanted to, he was a sage. Reb Karfin was a gal shel geizen. He was a pile of nuts. Now, as Rashi brings from Avos to Reb Nosson, that what does it mean he was like a pile of nuts? Like when you have a pile of nuts, when you take one of them, they all start tumbling down and crumbling. So, and then now they all fall one on the other. That's how Reb Tarfon was, because if a student would come and ask him a question, he would bring him a proof from a pasuk in Chumash, from a Medrash, from a Mishnah, from a Halacha, from a Agada, all at once. So it's like you pull out one thing and then you would have the whole thing coming down. He would show you and prove to you his answers from all over. Reb Shmuel was like a chanus miyuzenes, was like a fully stocked store, where you always have wine that's ready where the seller, the retailer, doesn't have to say to the purchasers, oh, hold on 1 second and I'll bring it for you. In other words, so too, when someone would ask him a question, he had it on the tip of his tongue, he had it ready to say. It was a fully stocked store, everything was ready to give. Rabbi Kiva was a Eitzer Balam, where again, Rashi quotes from the Masechtas Avos Rabbi Nosson, that when it says, what was Rabbi Kiva compared to? He was like a pauper who would take his basket and go out to the fields. So he would find barley, so he would reap the barley and put it into his basket. He would find wheat, he would take that and put it in his basket. He would find beans and lentils, he would put it all into his basket. When the pauper comes home, so then he starts selecting and separating each type separately. That's how Rabbi Kiva was. When he learned from his teachers, he would learn Chumash from his teachers, then he learned Halacha, then he learned Medrash, then he learned Agada. And he put his heart to it, and to review and to understand until he was fully fluent in all these different subjects. Now, moreover, he didn't say, okay, let me first learn Chumash and make sure I know Chumash well, and let me learn Medrash first, let me learn it only that and I'll learn that well. He learned everything. Now, after he became a great sage, then he made all his learning into separate categories, meaning he organized the Midrashim, Sefri, Sefra separately, and he learned it for himself with his students. Then he did the Halacha separately, and then he did Agadah separately. Now, that's what Rashi says, that's what the Gemara means when it says it was called Eitzer Balam, which that refers to when you have separators and containers in like a big box, where you put in the box, you put wheat over here, you put barley over here, you put lentils over here. That is, although it was one big mishmash, and then you go and you start separating, that's how Rabbi Kiva was. He learned everything, and then he separated each one in its compartment. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri was kupat ha-reichlam. He was like the peddler's box, where it also explains over there in Avos Rabbi Nosson. Just like a peddler, he comes to a city, whatever you ask from him, he's got. You ask him for balsam, you have it, he says yes. You ask him, do you have cinnamon, he says yes. Whatever you ask him, whatever you need, he has, so too, whoever would ask Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri a question in Chumash, he would respond to him. A question in Gemara, he would respond. Medrash, Agada, whatever it was. Now, Rashi points out, this is not the same thing as by Rabbi Kiva, because by Rabbi Kiva, what it was is that he would first learn everything, and it was all one big disorganized, it was all mixed up. And then he organized it, that's why he was like, Eitzer Balam. Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri, it's just talking about that whatever anyone had a question about, he had an answer for. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria was like a kubishal besamim, like a box of fragrant spices, where it's similar a little bit to Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri of the kupat ha-reichlin. The only difference is, as Rashi says, is that the reichl, the peddler, since this is his profession to have what people need, so he has a lot of different things and he puts each one in its separate bundle, so it's prepared to, if someone asks him, he says, oh, yeah, I have it, whereas the kupat besamim is not necessarily that way. It could all be mixed up. It's only by the besamim over here. It's not all different things as Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri had from everything. Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, his teaching was kav, was measured. In other words, a small amount. He didn't learn as much as his colleagues, just what was said in the Beis Medrash. But whatever it was that he said was v'naki. It was pure, and that's why the halacha always follows like him, because we know whatever he was saying was measured, but it was exactly as it should be. So to Rabbi Yassin, this is why we brought this down, was nimoiku imoi. His reasoning was with him. You asked him a question, he gave you the reasons and explanations for why he says like that. Rabbi Shimon was toichen harbe. He would grind a lot, meaning he would learn a lot of Torah. Umaitzi kima, and he would release only a little bit, which Gemara is going to explain what that means. As Tanya has written, Abraisa, Meshakech kima, he only forgot a little bit of his learning. Now, umasha maitzi, and what he did release, in other words, what he did forget from his learning, was Eina Maitzi Ela Subin. The only thing that he would forget are the things that he thought the halacha wasn't, that we didn't even follow that in actual practice. So that's like the brand, like whatever it was not included was, and he forgot, was even the brand wasn't even really the good part to remember. Now, Chaynam, Rabbi Shimon L'Tamidav, so too, that's Rabbi Shimon said to his students. Bonai, my children, Shanu Midoisai, learn my measurements. In other words, learn my Torah. Shemidoisai Trumais, Mitrumais Midoisav Shal Rabbi Kiva, because my measurements are the best of the best of Rabbi Kiva's. In other words, I chose and selected from the primary Mishnayos to Rabbi Kiva, and that's a selection after a selection. And therefore, he said, learn my stuff, because he says, I don't forget anything. What I did is those that I feel are like the brand are not even what the halacha is like. Now the Gemara returns to what we mentioned before, Gufo. We mentioned on the top of this Amid from the previous staff that we said if Amar l'shnayim, if a man tells the two people, Imru l'sayif v'yichtiv, he told these two people, tell the scribe to write, Tell those people to sign. So we had quoted that Amr Avuna Marav. Rav Huna said name of Rav. That's kosher. But it shouldn't be done to Jewish people. And that's why the Gemara originally tried to resolve Rabbi Yisi with the opinion of Shmuel by saying that it's a milsa le'shchicha, it's not common for people to do this, and therefore we don't have to be geyser in such a case, where that's why Rabbi Yisi would validate, even if he would hold like we thought, like he holds like Shmuel, like Imru, that you could tell someone else to tell, but since you wouldn't do it because it shouldn't be done, so therefore, that's why we wouldn't be concerned when you have a scribe signed with another witness, that maybe it's a case where they felt bad for him and they told him to sign, but really it wasn't told, and he would believe them because he knows that even Rabbi Yisi holds that you could tell someone else to tell, and we're not concerned with that case. That was why we had introduced this halacha. Now the Gemara is quoting that halacha now. So again, so Rav is saying that you could do it, you could have Imru Oimer, which as Rashi explained on the top of the summit, which recorded in the previous daf, which this discussion really going only like Reb Meir, because ultimately the Gemara concluded Reb Yisi holds, you cannot tell someone else to tell someone else to do something, even if explicitly it's said regarding words. But it's going like Reb Meir, who holds that you could give over words. So you could do it, but it's like a tchila, initially it shouldn't be done. So that the Gemara asks, why? Amalei Ula Reb Nachman. And Varmalei, some say it's actually the other way. There was Reb Nachman who asked Le'ula, Me'achar, the kasher, but if you tell me that's kasher, again, either because mili are mimsur and l'shlech, words can be given over. Or, even if generally you cannot, the way Shmuel holds, but in the case of at least when he says to tell over, of imru, of oimer imru, that's going to be kasher, so amalei sa'asas ha'isbisol, why are you saying this shouldn't be done to Jewish people? What's the problem with this? So amalei, so he answered, again, either one or the other, chashina shemetisker edim, we're concerned that maybe the woman's going to hire witnesses to do this, that they should say over, quote, in the name of the husband, which they really not, she's hiring them, to tell the scribe to write and witnesses to sign, and they're going to believe because two people are telling, but really, they're false. She hired them. So to avoid this, no, the husband has to go ahead and be the one to tell, because or else the woman might be so desperate for the get, she's going to get two people to say, and then, oh, look, voila, I have a kosher get, two witnesses are signed, and the scribe is signed, and the scribe wrote it. But it's not true, because it came really from two people who had told them, who was actually hired by her. Now the Gemara wonders, Umichet, you know, are we really concerned for that? But Vatanya learned a brayse that says, Eidim achasumim al sodei mekach. When you have witnesses that are signed on a sale of a field, or of get isho, you have witnesses signed on a get document. Now, so once, like we do lekim shtaris, once we recognize the witnesses that are signed on the get or on the deed, lechashru chacham l'davazeh. The sages were not concerned for this thing to think that, oh, maybe we know who these two people are. We were kind of the chasimas, we validated the signatures, but maybe they're lying. How do we know? They're not in front of us, we can't interrogate them. So they said, no, we're not concerned with that. We have two witnesses that we know who they are. We assume that it's valid. Why? Didn't the Gemara just say that the reason why you can't have him tell other people to tell the scribe and the witnesses because maybe it's actually coming from her? So we see that we are concerned that two people will be doing something inappropriate by lying and telling the two witnesses, oh, that the husband sent us. So would they lie, or would two people not lie? So the Gemara says, now there's a difference. Maisa loy avdi, an action they wouldn't do. In other words, to sign falsely or to testify falsely, we don't assume that people would do that. And therefore, it's valid by the deed and by the get when we just see signature signed. Dibur kami, but for some reason by speech, people are more lax about, they would tell other people to do it. Oh, the husband sent us, they're not doing it. And the other ones are thinking that the husband told them to do it. So that's why the Gemara answers that this shouldn't be done, to tell people to tell other people, because although you're really doing it in this situation, if we allow it, the woman might come to do it. And we are two people are suspect about telling other people to do something wrong, but themselves they wouldn't do, but other people they would tell. So that's regarding a case when we say the husband can't tell to two people to tell both the scribe to write and two witnesses to sign. But Amr l'shnayim, let's say he tells to two people, Imru l'sefer b'yichtav, tell the scribe to write, but v'atim chasumu, you sign. Where here it's different, where we don't have to be concerned that maybe, which that in the previous case, that maybe the woman's going to hire people to tell them to tell other two witnesses to sign. Because the people themselves that she's telling would not sign. As we said, to tell over to other people they would, but themselves they wouldn't. Moreover, other people now are not going to sign anymore unless they hear from the husband themselves, because we're saying that ligat chila shouldn't be done. So no one's going to be doing that. So, but what's in the case of when he tells themselves to sign? How about that? So on that, actually, it's a machlokes. And this is the machlokes that we mentioned on the top of this amud, which we quoted from the previous daf, where we said that obviously they're not going like Rabbi Yisi, and so too Shmuel wasn't going like Rabbi Yisi. So regarding such a case, when he's having themselves sign, which that's okay, what's the halacha, but he's telling them to tell the scribe to write. So we have machlokes. Rav Chisda amar kasher v'lo yisias. He says, look, it's valid, but it shouldn't be done. Not only in the case when he tells them to have other people sign, but even themselves to sign. But as Rashi says, it's a gezeira. Because if he let, when he tells them, even when they're signing themselves, but at least the writing is being done by someone else, by the scribe, if we let that, then we might come to let the case even when he's not only telling them to have a scribe write, but to also have two other people sign, which then you're running into the problem of that case, where then the woman might come to hire two people to tell even two people to sign. So therefore, even though it's kasher, for sure, because even when he's telling other people to sign, to tell them to tell other people to sign is going to be kasher, but it shouldn't be done. Whereas Rabbi Babachan, Omar, he says it's kasher, b'siyasa, it's valid, and you could even do it initially. He's not making a gzeira for that gzeira. He's not saying that you can't tell them to sign themselves for a case of when they might come to tell other people to sign, which, again, that would run into the problem about the woman having two people to hire to tell other two people to sign. But Rav Nachman Amar, kasher b'siyasa, he does agree with Rav Chisda. He says it's kasher, and it should not be done. But Rav Sheshar Amar, kasher b'siyasa, he disagrees. He holds, no, it is kasher, and it could be done. Rabba Amar Kasha Balasias. Again, we're having all these opinions back and forth. Rabba says it's kasher and it shouldn't be done. But Rayasiv Amar Kasha Baziasi, he disagrees, says no, it's kasher and it could be done. Now, however, as we continue, Tamad Bez, the Gemara says, Ve'ikad Apachlo. Now, those that switch around the attribution of Rabba and Rayasiv regarding which one was it that said that it could be done initially and which one says that initially it should not be done. Now, the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that said, Amar La Sarah, if a husband tells the 10 people, Kisvu get, write a get. So similarly, regarding these halachas, the Gemara brings Tarabon in the Brice that elaborates on these halachas, what to do. As we said in the Mishnah, there's a difference if he just tells them in general to write it, or if he says, Kulchem, all of you should. So the Brice says, Amala Sara. If he tells the 10 people, Kisvu get v'tnu l'ishti, write a get and give it to my wife. He just says to the general people, the assembly that's there. So Echad Kaisav al Dekulin, one writes it for all of them, meaning they're not all going to write it, one guy's going to write it. So one guy writes it. Now, let's say he says, Kulchem kesev, I want all of you to write it. Well, then Echad kesev b'mamikul. Now, one has to write it with all of them present. Because he said, I want all of you to write it. Now, they're not all writing it, but they all have to at least be present when he's writing it. Let's say he says, Haylichu get le'ishti. He tells there's 10 people in the room, and he says, bring this, he says in the plural, bring this get to my wife. So, Echad ma'ilich al de'kulim, one does it for all of them, meaning they don't all have to bring it. He's saying, from you, someone should bring it. But let's say he says, Kul chamaylich, I want all of you to bring the get to my wife. Now, 20 people can't all bring it. They can't all hold on to the paper. So what it means is, Echad meylich b'mamin kulam. One guy brings it in the presence of all the, meaning they all have to go along with him to bring it to the woman if it's going to be a valid get. Now, Ibayluhu, however, they had the following question. If let's say he doesn't say kulcham, he doesn't say all of you, but mana oisam, he starts counting them. He says, 1, 2, 3, 4, and he says, Kisvu get le'ishti. I want you to write a get for my wife. Maho, what's the halacha over there? In other words, do we say from the fact that he counted them, so he intended for the ones that he counted to bring it, or do we say that since he didn't say kulchem, he didn't say all of you that I counted to write it, so you don't need all of them, even though he counted them. What's the halacha? So it's a machlekes. Rav Huna Amar, he says, mana eina kulchem. He says, when you count it, it's not like all of them. You don't have to do it all. Rabbi Yechid Meshamir Belaza, the Min Raima Amar, who is from Rome, he said, Man Harehu Kukolchem. No, when you count, it is like saying all of them, like all of them do have to do it. But actually, Amar HaPapa, he says, V'loi Pligi. They're actually not arguing. Hadamana Kulo, one of them is talking about when he counted all of them. V'hadamana Miktasai, one of them is talking about that he only counted some of them. Now, although that's the resolution, the Gemara actually tells us that Amri La Lahai Gisa. There are some that say that, so which one is which? Some say this way. In other words, in the case of when he counts all of them, that's the opinion that holds that he's particular that all of those that he counted should go ahead and write or whichever task is talking about, that all of them have to do it. Because in contrast to when he only counts some of them, so there he's not going to be particular even for the ones that he counted. Because what he means to say is, two of those that I counted should sign, But it was just coming to exclude those who weren't counted. But not that all those that were counted have to go ahead and sign. And the reason being is because since he didn't end up counting all of them, so it's obvious that it was too much of an effort. And he stopped from his original intent, which was to have all of them. And therefore, even those that he did count, since he didn't end up counting, they don't all have to sign, only some of them. So one interpretation of the resolution that they both are not disagreeing is if you count all of them, then he wants all of them, even though he didn't say kulchem. But if he only counted some of them, then he ended up like, you know, whatever it is. Even two of them is good. Whereas, Ava Amri Lo L'Hai Gisa. Now those who say, actually, the interpretation is the other way. If he counted only some of them, so why are you counting these? Obviously, because you want these to go ahead and sign it. But if he counted all of them, since he didn't say kulchem, and we know that kulchem is the term that's always used to say, I want all of you, so therefore he's obviously not particular that it should be all of them that he's counted. He's just counting them to say, from you, I want to go ahead and have two people that sign, but actually all of them don't have to sign. So it's actually either or, but we're saying that they don't disagree. The question is, which one is the one that has to be all of them and which one doesn't have to be? Now, asking Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda had instituted Begita de Kulchem, regarding such a get, where if a person is similar to these cases where a man is telling to many people that I want you to write a get for my wife. Now, there's a concern that maybe there might be that, there, it might be said that his intention was for all of them, kulchem. Now, the problem is that if let's say he didn't say kulchem, and all of them are not going to sign, now it's going to come out that it's going to nullify the get. Because people are going to say, that's not a kosher get. I remember I was there and he said to all these people to sign it, and I see all of them didn't sign. Now, really, he didn't say kulchem. People are going to think that he said kulchem. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda was mesak and he instituted that it should be written in the get that this is what this man told us. Kesoivu, I want you to write it, oi kulchem, either all of you, which again, which means, as we said, even when you say kulchem kesuvu, it doesn't mean all of them have to write, but one of them should write in the presence of all of them. Or either one of you, meaning even if the rest are not there, meaning specify, write it that he didn't mean all of you, because he didn't, because if you don't, then people might assume that it did, and then they would say that it's not a kosher get. Similarly, he told us chasumu, that you should sign, or all of you should sign, or even any one of the two of you should sign, and that's enough. And he told us avilu, that we should bring it to her, or all of you, or either one of you, it doesn't have to be all of them. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda did to rectify that people shouldn't think that this is going to be a get puzzle. Now, but Amar Rava, Rava asked on this and he's bothered by this. He says, actually, you're running into a problem the way you did it, because Zimnin, the goy is lately diburi. Sometimes, he's not going to end up, they're not going to end up, and according to Rashi's interpretation, it's the scribe, whoever's writing this in the text of the get, is not going to write the whole statement that you said should be written to prevent the problems they're going to run into. The Amar Kulchan, and he's going to say only the first part of it, that it should be all of you. You're not going to end up finishing the sentence and write that it should be either one of you, and actually, that's going to make it even worse. For sure, now for sure they're going to come to invalidate it, because maybe one of the people won't be there at the time that's being written, or not all of them is going to sign, but it says in the get it has to be kulchan. So you're for sure going to run into a problem. So Elamar Rava, rather Rava says something similar but different. He says, don't write the first option of oi kulchan. Rather, kesoivu kulchad minchan. Rather, when it says you should write, he wrote that it should be any one of us. Chasamu kol tre minchan. When it says that he told us to sign, it meant any two of us. And avilu kulchad minchan, he told us to bring it, it was any one of us. In other words, don't mention the concept of the first option of kulchem at all. Because if you do, then they might only write that part and leave out the second part. And for sure, then it's going to be problematic. Because if not all of them are there, then it's going to be invalid, even though he didn't say all of them. So they would just write only the second option. And then we won't run into any concerns because we'll know that he didn't say kulchem. And that's why it's valid, even though all of them aren't there. Hanu lacha emir, we shall return to you the sixth parak of Masechtas Gittin, parak ha'emir. And with that, we begin the seventh parak of Masechtas Gittin, parak Misha Ochsai. The Mishnah begins, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayis of the previous parak, regarding the husband authorizing others to write a get for his wife. So the Mishnah tells us, Misha Ochsai kur diyokais. Somebody that kur diyokais, which is the name of a demon, took a hold of him, and that happens when someone drinks a lot of fresh wine. So he's possessed by this demon. Varmani tells Kisvu get lish, he says, write a get for my wife. So says the Mishnah lawyer, Makum, he hasn't said anything because his intelligence is not settled. He's possessed, and therefore we don't listen to what he's saying. Now, the same thing works the other way too. Let's say Amar kiss will get lishi. Let's say he says, write a gift for my wife. When he's saint, and then va'achzer kurdiyakis, and then he's possessed by this kurdiyakis, and then v'chazav amaloi tichdaven, and then after that he's possessed, he says, don't write it in devar v'achreinim klum. So his later words are not valid, and we will go ahead and write it, because again, he's not in a sane state right now. Now, moving on to a different case, which Rashi says is not going back on this case of kurdiyakis, rather, nishtatik, if a regular person just becomes mute because of an illness, he became mute, v'amaloi, and they tell him, nichtav get le'ishtacha, should we write a get for your wife? V'hikin bereshin, he shakes with his head. So boykin oisei shlesha pa'am. So they inspect him three times. In other words, regarding other areas. They ask him things which it's appropriate that him, if let's say if he's in a sane state, that amra alav lav, that regarding what should be answered with no, so he alludes to them that his answer is no, because he shakes his head, how people usually shake his head, no, that's how he's shaking it. Val hein hein, and things which are supposed to be yes, he's shaking his head, yes. And they do that three times for each one, for no and for yes. And then if he answers appropriately, so then they go ahead and they write it and they give it again if he shakes his head. When they ask him regarding the get, if you want to give it, he shakes his head in the yes position, then they'll go ahead and they'll write a get for his wife. Now we mentioned in the Mishnah regarding this halacha, that if someone is possessed by kurdiyakis, then again, whatever he's saying, we're not going to listen to whether it's to write the get or to undo the get. So the Gemara asks, my kurdiyakis, what is this thing? So he explains, is denachse, which comes from the word of nishicha, it's when it bites him, in other words, when he really drank a lot and then he starts noticing the effects, of chamra chadeto de matzarta, of newly pressed wine. Again, they said when he drinks too much, then he gets possessed by this demon. So the Gemara asks, v'listening, mishin neshacho yayin chadesh, so why don't you say it in the simple way of that when someone gets bitten, when he imbibes too much of fresh wine, then if he says, write a get for my wife, lo yamaklom. So the Gemara says, no, ha-kamash malon. What the Mishnah was teaching us is the harucha, that this spirit, this demon that possesses a person when he drinks too much of this freshly pressed wine, kurdiyakis shema, its name is kurdiyakis. So the Gemara says, l'may nafkamina, what's the practical relevance? Why do we have to say that? Why do we need to know the name of the shade? So the Gemara says, l'kameya, it's to write an amulet, and that is, they would make an oath to get rid of the demonic spirit that's inside the person, that would they would write in the amulet and then put it to the person. It's necessary to know the specific name of that shade to be able to get rid of him. Now the Gemara is mayasuse, so what is the refuah? How does one heal one person that is ill, that is possessed by this kurdiyakis? So the Gemara says it's bisra sumka. You have lean meat, literally means red, but it's a reference to lean meat, that's agurmi, that's roasted on coals, the chamer marka, and wine that's diluted very much with water, that's something that's healing for a person that's drank too much of freshly pressed wine, again, that then he gets possessed by this kurdiyakis. So the Gemara moves into a whole discussion now that we mentioned this, the healing of this kurdiyakis by eating specifically this type of meat and wine, into other things about how one heals, and this is the therapeutic medications which were used in the times of the Talmud, which we don't really understand the application anymore, but also because one of the things mentioned are going to be a contrast of the healing of the medicine that's used for the kurdiyakis. So Abaya says, Amali Aim, my mother told me, Lashim Shabbas Yema, for an illness that has because a person got hot that day, which is a type of heat stroke, so Kuza Demaya, he should take a jug of water and he should drink it. If he has heat stroke from 2 days, sichure, he should let some blood, which is called the bloodletting, that they use a type of a keren, and they draw some blood. If it's already from 3 days, so then bisra sumka gumri v'chamer marka, again, similar to what we said for the kurdiyakis, when you drink too much fresh wine, same thing here for the 3 day heat stroke, you have this lean meat on the coals and this very diluted wine. Now, l'shimsha atikta, for a very old heat stroke, meaning it's for already for a long time, many days, so leisitar negolta uchmasi, you bring a black hen, v'lekara shesiva erev, now you tear it length and across, v'legalche l'mitziyasa deresha, now then you shape off the middle of the hair of the ill person's head, v'leisve ilavei, now you put that cut up black hen on top of his head, V'nanchei levei ad misach, and you keep the hen there until it sticks to him. V'linches v'leikim b'maya atzavar. Then you put you have the person go down and stand in the water up until his neck. Ad cholish alma ilavei, until he starts feeling faint. V'lemer, and then he should swim. V'lesalik v'leisav, and then he should come out of the water and should sit, and that will heal him from this old heat stroke. Now v'iloi, and if he can't do it, he doesn't find the black hen, or if it doesn't work for him, Lechel karti, he should eat leek. V'linches v'leikim b'maya tzavar, and again he should go down and he should stand in water up until his neck. Ad cholish alma ilavei, until he starts feeling faint. And v'leimud v'lesalik v'leisav, then he should swim, should come out of the water and should sit. Then again, similar to the previous one, just this is with leek, and that will heal him. Now the Gemara explains that lishimsha, like we mentioned before, when it's regarding a 3-day-old heat stroke, there is bisra sumka gumri v'chamer marka. Similar to, again, like we said regarding kudiyakis, there you have lean meat with diluted water. But says the Gemara, contrast letalga, which literally translates as shalga, which is snow. In other words, an illness that comes not from heat but actually from the cold. Then bisra shmeina gurmi. Then you have fatty meat on coals, not lean, and mechamer chaya. And then you have raw wine, meaning that wasn't diluted with water. The exact opposite for the exact opposite type of illness. Actually, the Gemara brings this story to illustrate the difference between these two. That Rav Amram Chassidim, Rav Amram the pious one, kav mitzaren le bei Reish Galusa, when the household of the Reish Galusa, who is the head of all the Jewish people in the diaspora, when they would bother him, which were the slaves of the house of the Reish Galusa, because Rav Amram was a pious person and he was someone that was very stringent in prohibitory law, and he was very stringent on them when they would do these inappropriate things, and it bothered them, so they would pain Rav Amram Chassidim. So one of the things they did to him was have a magnu le'atalga. They made him sleep in the snow. Now lamochar amalei, the next day they said to him, "My nichele lamar delaisile, what would you prefer? These are the slaves that already made him sleep in the snow. What would you like that we should bring for you?" So Amar, Rav Amram Chassidim said to himself, "Look, honey, these people kol damin lu. I know whatever I'm going to tell them. Mepech afri, they can do the exact opposite." So Amar Lehu, he said to them, "You know what? Bisru sumka gumri. I want you to bring me lean red meat on coals, v'chamer marker, and very diluted wine." And you know what? Aishale in, you know what they brought him? The exact opposite. Bisru shmeina gumri, fatty meat on coals, v'chamer chaya, and undiluted wine. But that's exactly what he needed, because as we said, what's the healing for talga, for snow, for illness from cold, is actually this way, which is the opposite of the heat stroke, and that's why he told them the opposite, that they should bring him exactly what he needed. Shama Yalta, who is the wife of Rav Nachman, where she was the daughter of the Nasi, of the prince, which is the leader of the Jewish people, and she was also the wife of Rav Nachman, who was the Av Bezdin, the head of the courts. She was a very respectable woman, and as the Gemara tells in Chuluk of Chavdal Meralf, that Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the Nasi, which his wife Yalta was the daughter of. So she heard what happened, and that he had to sleep in the snow, and then he was eating all this fatty meat and this raw wine. So she brought him into the bathhouse. And she had him stand in the water of the bathhouse. Until the water in the bathhouse turned into blood. And that's because of the red sweat that came out of Rav Amram, because of all the fatty meat and all the undiluted wine that was in him. The sweat came out in red and made it like blood. And his flesh became like these round splotches that he had on his skin, again because of all that which was coming out of his body. Now Rav Yosef, actually, Iasik, he would involve himself because of when he would have talga, an illness because of too much cold, birichaya, with a mill, meaning he would work hard at the mill so he should get warmed up and sweaty. Again, that was the healing for the illness that came from cold, to work up his body. So to Rav Sheshes, Iasik Bikshuri, Rav Sheshes would work with beams. He would carry beams and heavy things. Amar, he said, "Gedoy l'malacha, how great is work, shemechamem eses ba'aleh, which warms up, it's the ones who work with it." In other words, it's good that I'm working, I'm getting all verschwitzt, all hot and sweaty, and that's getting out this coldness, this chill that's in my body from the cold. Now the Gemara moves on to a related discussion from the house of the Reish Galusa and also Rav Sheshes, who we just mentioned. Amalei Reish Galusa l'Rav Sheshes. The Reish Galusa, the head of the Gullus, of the people in the exile, in the diaspora, he said to Rav Sheshes, "My tamalei sod mar gabon. Why doesn't the master, why didn't you, Rav Sheshes, come to eat a meal by us?" So Amalei Rav Sheshes said to him, Because the slaves that you have are inappropriate. They're suspect to be serving you treif, non-kosher food, by ripping off a limb from a live animal. So the Resh Galusa said to Rav Sheshet, "Mi yema, who says such a thing?" Amalei Rav Sheshet said to him, "Hashta mechvinelach." Now I'll show you. I'll illustrate it. Amalei l'shamei. So Rav Sheshet said to his attendant, "Zil genoyf, go ahead, steal. Aisli chod the kar mechevasa. Bring me one leg of the animal that they're preparing to serve for the Resh Galusa's meal now." So Aisli, his attendant, brought it from him. So Amalehu, then Rav Sheshet said to the slaves, he called them in. He said, "Ahadmuli hadmi dechevasa." Says, "I want you to organize in front of me all the cuts of meat that you're going to serve tonight, that you can serve for this meal by the Resh Galusa." So I see Tlas Kari, so they brought him three of the legs, and they put it in front of him. So Amalahu, he said to them, "Habala Shalash Regalim Havya? What do you have, an animal, a three-legged animal? What's going on? Where's the fourth leg?" So Pasuk, what they did is they broke an Aisu Chadim Alma, they brought another leg from a different animal. And they see come in, they put it in front of him and said, "Oh, no, here's the fourth leg." Amalei l'shamei, so then Rav Sheshet said to his attendant, "Aisvei nami l'hach didach, now bring also your leg, the original fourth leg, and put it here." Aisvei, he put it there. Amalehu, now Rav Sheshet said to them, "Hai bas chamesh rakalayim haba, what do you have, a five-legged animal? This was the fourth leg, what's that fifth leg that you have?" So obviously he illustrated to the Resh Galusa, look, your slaves are not trustworthy. Even if maybe they're cooking kosher, when it comes down to it, they'll crack off the leg of an animal and give you an Eiver Melechai. So Amalei said, Resh Galusa said to Rav Sheshet, he said, "Ihachi, if that's the case, that they are suspect to serve something not kosher, le'avdu kamei shamei demar v'leichel, let my servants prepare the food in front of your attendant to make sure he'll be the mashgiach, he'll watch over, to make sure that it's going to be kosher. And then you'll eat by us." So Amalei, so Rav Sheshet said, "L'chaye, for sure, totally, I'm definitely agreeable to eat by you." So krivu taka kame. So they definitely, his attendant made sure everything was kosher. Then they served the tables in front of them. The aisu kame bisra, and they served in front of Rav Sheshet a piece of meat. V'yisivu kame ristino dechanka chamsa. They gave him a piece of meat that chokes the blind. Now, the reason is because they gave him a piece of meat that has a small bone that's on the edge of the thigh bone, where if a person swallowed it, he would choke on that bone. Now, the reason is because Rav Sheshet was blind, he won't be able to see that little bone, and he's going to eat it and he's going to choke. So they wanted to get back at him. Now, but Gashasha, Rav Sheshet was feeling around and he noticed that there was that bone over there. So Vashakli took the whole piece of meat and Karcha Besudre, and he wrapped it in his kerchief. Now, Labas the Achal, after they finished eating, Amri Leh, they said to him, as we continue on top of Samachas and Aleph, Ignivlon Kasa de Kasba. The slaves said, "Oh, there was a silver goblet that was stolen from us," because they saw that he wrapped something in his kerchief, and they wanted to know what was this, what Rav Sheshet was taking. So they made up a story that it was a stolen cup that was missing. Now, Bahadi de Kuma Aini Ba'asi, and in the meantime, when they were analyzing and checking, finding an old Rav Sheshet stuff, Ashkechu de Krucha Besudre, they found the piece of meat that was wrapped in his kerchief. So Amr Leh, so the servants said to the Resh Galusa, "Chazimah, look, master. Doloi Mechel Kaba, he didn't want to come and eat. Elu Tzu'urin, just to pain us. He didn't even eat the meat, he just wrapped it up. You see, he's an antagonist. He just wants to bother us." So Amr Leh, Rav Sheshet said to them, "No. Ano Mechel Achli. I was coming ready to eat. But time the chivara. I ate, but I tasted there was something over here was from an animal that had leprosy, that had shchin." So Amri Leh, they said to him, "What are you talking about? Chivra lo avid on the idna. Today we did not prepare, we didn't slaughter any animal that had shchin on it, that had some type of a boils, some type of a leprosy." So Amalahu, he said to them, "Batku beduch. They check in the place of the skin, meaning of this piece of meat that you gave me, which had that small little bone." He was alluding to them that he had that part of the edge of the thigh, and check in the skin over there, and you'll see that it's white. Because the Amr of Chizda said, "Uchma b'chivara." If you have a black splotch on the white skin, or b'chivara b'uchmeso, or a white splotch on a black hide, l'kusahi, it's a sign of that there is something inappropriate there in the piece of meat, and that's why the skin turned white instead of the regular natural black color. And Baduk Ashkechu, they checked and they found that actually in that spot of the meat, that skin actually had a splotch of white where the rest of it was black. So he proved them, and that's why they didn't have any claim against him. Now, Kiko Nafi, when he was leaving, they still wanted to get back at him. Karuli Bira, they dug a pit that he should fall into. Now, Rishadale Tzivse Ilovei, and they threw a reed mat on top of the pit so that no one could realize that there's a pit over here. Vamrile Mesetim, Lesi Mar Leinech. He's blind, he doesn't see it, he's walking out. They say, oh, you see that couch over there? Why doesn't the master come and rest over there before he leaves? Now, passing through to get to that couch, he's going to pass over that reed mat and he's going to fall into the pit. Now, Nochale Rav Chizde Machai, Rav Chizde was from behind Rav Sheshes, so he snorted at him. He made some type of a sign the way a horse snorts. That's what Rav Chizde did. So when Rav Sheshes heard that noise, Amalei, Rav Sheshes said Liyanuka to a child that was there, said, Psoik li psukech, tell me the pasuk that you're learning right now. So Amalei, he quoted him a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, which says, Netelocha, turn to you, al yemincha, to your right, or al smalecha, or to your left. So Amalei l'shami, then he said to his attendant, Maikachaz, what do you see in front of us? Amalei said to him, Tzifisa d'shadya, I see a reed mat that's thrown on the floor. So Amalei said to him, Hadumina, go around it, meaning take me either to the right or to the left, like that pasuk in Shmuel Beis said. Now the boss of the Nafik, after that he left, Amalei Rav Chizda said to Rav Sheshes, how did the master know? How did you know that there was a trap set for you? So Amalei said to him three reasons. Chada, first of all, the Nochli Mar. The master, you Rav Chizda, did me a favor and you snorted, so I realized something was up. Void, moreover, the pasuk liyanuka psuka, the pasuk, which is some type of a sign that many use, that the child, that whatever pasuk he's saying at that time, also alluded to me something, which was saying, go to the right or to the left, but don't go straight. Void, moreover, the third reason is, the chashidi avdi dilemalu. These slaves who are not trustworthy, they're suspect to do something inappropriate. So I knew something was up. I knew they were going to try to get back to me. And that's why, from all those clues, I realized there's a reed mat down over here. Very likely, there's a pit here, and we got to go around. And that's how I knew to avoid this tactic that they had put to make me fall into the pit.